Okay, good morning, everyone. five to go on Parshas Pinchas. It says Nasso. I don't know why it says Nasso. Five to go on Parshas Pinchas. We'll discuss, first of all, begin by discussing today the nature of the day of Shivas Avatamas. I found a fascinating source that I would not have necessarily seen on my own. Maybe someone here has seen it. It's like a half a thought. Requires more. We'll begin with thought about Shivas Arba Tammuz. When was the first Shivas Arba Tammuz, which is today, fast day, depicting the darkest part of the Jewish calendar, the 3 weeks? The 3 weeks are days of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are, you know, gradually get progressively, you know, more and more severe in terms of the restrictions. Right now, haircutting, music to some extent, barring the shechter from the tshuva from a shechter, and weddings, etc. And then it gets more intense as the time period goes on. That is different than Avelos. Avelos, it's the most intense, and then it becomes less intense as the year goes on. 3 weeks is the opposite. Rabbi Salvechik would say that it's a difference in the notion of the Avelos. The Avelos Chadasha, the Avelos of a mourner, someone that lost a relative. So the most acute point is the immediate response. That is the hardest part. The first moments, the first few days, and then it progressively, gradually gets a little bit easier. As opposed to the Avelos Yeshana, the old Avelos of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not easy to just jump into it and be, oh, we have to be sad about the Beis HaMikdash. We have to mourn. So Chazal were very, very smart and very vain. A lot of chachma when establishing these 3 weeks. And they put it together where we have 3 weeks where it slowly, slowly gets more severe to ease us into it. And then by the time we get to the 9 days and then we get to a Tisha B'Av, we're feeling the lacking in our lives. The lacking in our lives should lead us to a lacking of the Beis HaMikdash.
Bein HaMitzarim.
Bein HaMitzarim. Thank you, Rabbi Lach. So I'm going to begin out of order. Shivas Arba Tammuz, the Luchos were broken in Shivas Arba Tammuz. The Korban Tamid stopped being brought. The siege that began on Asar B'Teves 2.5, 2 years, 9 months earlier, ended on Shabbat Sabbatamas when we broke through the walls. There was a tzelem, a pesel, a vodazara that was placed in the Beis HaMikdash, and apostamus burnt the Torah. The last two, the pesel and the mikdash, and burning the Torah, it's unclear exactly what moment in history that happened, but all of those terrible calamities all befell the Jewish people on Yivan. There is I saw this last night, a fascinating Das Zakenu Bali Tosfos. Now, we often quote Tosfos when we're learning Gemara. And that is, Tosfos isn't a person, but it's a conglomerate of Rishonim that lived during the same time. Generally, they are Rashi's son-in-laws who make up the majority of the Bali Tosfos. They also have a Perush on the Chumash, which is off the beaten path. They generally say things that are different and unique than your classical Mefarshim. It's not often learned, and they don't have that many comments on all of the Parsha. You can find it in the back of, if you have a Mikros Gedolos, very often in the back of the Mikros Gedolos, you can find Das Zakenim. They say the following comment, and maybe we can further develop this together. Maybe someone here can maybe take this the next step. So, Bereishis Ches, right, all the way back in the beginning of the Torah, Perek Ches, the 8th chapter in the Torah, we have the story of Noach, Parshas Noach. At the end of the Mabel of Noach, at the end of the destruction of the world, and literally a Control-Alt-Delete, a pause and a restart to the world. A lot of moving in my house this morning. I apologize. Baruch Hashem. So, Vayishlach, so in order for Noach to determine that the things changed and the water has began to subside, So Noach starts to send out different birds. First he sends out the raven, and then he sends out the dove. So when he first sent out the dove, the pasuk says the following: "Vayishlach es hayona neito liros hekalu amayim al me'al pnei adam." So he sends out the dove, right? The dove is the sign of peace, a sign of tranquility, a sign of calmness. "V'lo matza hayona manoach lekaf ragla." And Yonah couldn't find a leg to stand on, literally. There's nowhere for the Yonah to rest. "V'teshev elav el hateva." So the Yonah returned to the teva. "Ki mayim al pnei kol haaretz." Because there is water throughout the entire land. "Vayikacheha vayavo ita me'al hateva." And then Noah brought the Yonah back into the teva. 7 days later, he did it again. And then he came back with an olive branch, the sign of peace. Parenthetically, it's very unclear why that became the sign of peace. It's really the sign of Hashem's peace. That's like for a different discussion. It's a big, big machlokas in the Gemara, which requires a lot of analysis as to when exactly the Mabul began and when the Mabul ended. The Das Akenim takes one side of this, because when do we start counting the months? Do we start counting the months from Tishrei or from Nisan? So if you look at, there's a very long and elaborate Rashi that goes through this in the Parsha. Every year I tell myself, I'm going to go back to this Rashi. I need to analyze this. And every year it's like, I don't have time. Next year. So we'll take one point. Das Akenim makes the following point. He says, what date did they send the Yonah out? What date was that? What was going on? So he says like this. This is unbelievable. "Vayiftach Noach chalona teva hu biyud tamuz." Noach, what was a day where Noach decided, I'm going to start looking. Hey, maybe the water subsided. Maybe things are over. Maybe the danger is over. Maybe we can start thinking and considering about going out again. "Vayishlach es ha'orev miyad v'lo aslash lichusa." He sent the orev out, the raven, and the raven just made circles and came back, and he didn't do shlichus. Then Noach said, okay, maybe it's not time. I'll wait seven days. And then what did he do? "Vayishlach es ha'yonah." 7 days later, he sent out the Yonah. And what day was that? "V'haya shiva asar b'tamas." Whoa. With shiva asar b'tamas. "V'lo matza ha'yonah manoach." And Yonah at that moment could not find any resting spot. He couldn't find a place for him to rest. "V'omrani," and now says the Das Akenim, based on this whole analysis, "Shegam remez l'tchilas ha'chorban." This is a reminder of the beginning of the Chorban Habayis, the beginning of destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. "Shehaya b'shiva asar b'tamuz shehufka a'ir." He says like this, what happened in the times of the Beis HaMikdash? The siege was for 2 years, 9 months, 2 years, 10 months. And then the walls broke down. The Romans, the Syrians, they came in, broke through, and the walls were destroyed. The city was razed and was destroyed. And he says that's symbolic of Yonah. The Yonah was v'lo matza Yonah manoach l'kafra glah. He had nowhere to go. He had nowhere to rest. Everything started to change. And for Yonah, that is symbolic of the Jewish people. The Jewish people at that moment had nowhere to go. They were literally stuck, and they were just circling around, and they had no resting spot for themselves. That's what he says went on. The first Shiva Asar Tamas in history, perhaps, and many, many years later, it's a simin, right, that something was in the air already many, centuries earlier, many millennia earlier, that the Jewish people would not find Manoach on that day. Because the Jewish people are compared to the Yonah. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, in Daf Yomi. For those learning Daf Yomi, this came up like two months ago. By the way, just think about it. The Daf Yomi, Maseches Shabbos, the second, began right during Corona. Began the day of Corona. When we started closing down the shuls, it was Daf Dalet in Maseches Shabbos. And now we're almost finished. We have a month left in Maseches Shabbos, 157 blot. Just if you're counting the days, it's unbelievable. So that's my first thought about the parsha, about the day, this Das Akenim, which is very powerful. I think it requires a lot more thought. and maybe a lot more to talk about over here about what the day is about. Milo Matzah, Yonah Manoach, that the Jewish people for the beginning of this time period right now that we're in, we don't have a Manoach. We don't have a resting place. We feel like we're a little bit walking around in straits. This is something that maybe this year we feel more than ever, that we don't know where we're going. We don't feel rest. We don't feel calm. We have anxiety. What's going to be, what's going to happen? And it all started way back when, in towards the end of the Mabul. Any thoughts? Anyone? If you'd love to hear any thoughts that you have to add to that notion over here. The second point that many of the Hasidic Rebbes point out over here is that Parshas Pinchas, almost always, not always, but almost always, is the first Parsha of the 3 weeks. Now, why is that? Why is it that it's the first Parsha of the 3 weeks? So the Apter Rav, Rav Avraham Yeshua Heschel, the Ohev Yisrael, says the following, that if you look at it, there are really 21 days of celebration. There are 21 days of Yemei Hallel, where we say full Hallel throughout the calendaric year. And that's, Parshas Pinchas is one of the times, one of the parshios where we talk about the Moed and we learn about the Yom Tovim. So he says like this, just like there are 21 days that we celebrate the Yemei Hallel V'Hoda'ah, to parallel that, there are also 21 days of the 3 weeks that parallel the 21 days of darkness, parallel the 21 days of light. And it is a reminder to all of us that we believe and we know that one day, it's a nevuah from Zechariah HaNavi, that these 21 days of sadness that we are beginning right now will eventually, will come one day, as Rosh Hashanah this year, will become days of simcha, b'sasam, days of joy and of celebration. And that's why Pinchas is always here to remind us that chizah, that just like these are days of simcha, they're going to change. They're going to change. And Mendy Aaron is going to ask me the following question.
You're right. I'm already waiting.
Mendy Aaron, because he asked me this question last year, and he asked me this question 2 years ago, and 3 years ago, and I think 4 years ago also. I think he's asking this question every single year. And Mendy, I have an answer for you. What's the question? How many days are there really of the 3 weeks? If you count them,
22.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I think this is your question, right? There are really 22 days of the 3 weeks, not 21. There are 22 days of the 3 weeks. Why? Because it goes from, right, today is day one, Yud Zayin, and 3 weeks would end on the 8th of Av, right? That's three complete weeks, a Thursday to a Wednesday, right? But no, we have one more day. We have Shiva, we have Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the 22nd day of the 3 weeks. So what is it? Is it 21 days or is it 22 days? So the truth is, different Midrashim and different Mefarshim talk about this, and they either call them the 22 days or they call them the 21 days. The Divrei Naftali, or Naftali Halberstam, one of the Babavar Chasidus, points this out. And he says, U'b'emetzarach bir tzas. He says, it's strange. The Hayim Mei Bein Mitzarim is 22 days. The Hayom Tisha B'Av Gan Bechlal. Isn't Tisha B'Av one of the days of the 3 weeks? And he says, you know what? It's not. And he says, it's not. You know why? Because already within the count of the 3 weeks, we don't count Tisha B'Av. This Tisha B'Av is going to be a Moed. In fact, Tisha B'Av is a Moed already. The Navi in Eicha already calls the day of Tisha B'Av Kari Lai Moed, calls it a holiday. We don't say, just think about it, how many days of the 3 weeks do we say Slichos? Only once. We said Slichos today, that's the last time we're going to say Slichos during the entire 3 weeks. We're not saying Slichos on Tisha B'Av. There's no Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. Davening itself, right, if today was Tisha B'Av, would be much shorter. Ignore keynotes for a moment, but it would be much shorter because there would be no Tachanun and there would be no Slichos and there is no Avinu Malkeinu. It's a day of holiday. right? Already within the darkness, there already is that hope. And he says, therefore, that day doesn't count. It doesn't count as one of the days of the 3 weeks. It stands alone. And he says, that's how you can understand. He quotes the Avodis Yisrael, the Kajan Ser Magid, who quotes the same idea that we just said, at the 21 days. It's 21 days of Nirmei Simcha, and they're going to be, they correspond to the Yimei Simcha, because they will be Yimei Simcha as well.
Rabbi.
Yes.
I have an idea about the Yonah.
We got the math teacher on the line. Go ahead. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Go ahead.
Idea about the Yonah.
Yeah.
In the story by the Yonah, the Yonah goes out and eventually finds a place to land and doesn't come back. So that means, according to the Das Kane and the Balei Tosfos, that Tisha B'Av was not a foregone conclusion. Even with Shivas Labatamus, Tshuva could have helped forestall the original Tisha B'Av. And that's a lesson that remez from the story of the Mabul for Tisha B'Av. That means it's not a necessary follow-up from a Shiva Sabbatamas. Unfortunately, we had one, but it doesn't have to follow from the Shiva Sabbatamas.
That's beautiful, but I think I can give a chizuk for this year. That even though we're entering the 3 weeks, it doesn't mean that we have to finish the 3 weeks. That's beautiful. Very nice idea. Right? It's only a remez Shiva Sabbatamas. It's not a remez to Tisha B'Av at all. It's very, very nice. That's very nice. Even we had Chet Egel, there was no Tisha B'Av until many, many years later. Right? Many, many years. Actually, not many years. It was 1 year. But yeah, 100% correct. It's very, very nice. I like that. Third idea comes from the Parsha. This is an amazing Chafetz Chaim. This is a really beautiful Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, and Rapam elaborates on the Chafetz Chaim. You know, we count the Jewish people after there was a Magefa. We're experiencing Magefa right now. There was Magefa in the Parsha. And the Jewish people are counted. And one of the largest Shvatim is Shevet Dan. Right? Ela b'nei Dan, l'mishpichosam, arba'a v'shishim elef. The arba meos, 64,400. B'nei Binyamin is chamisha v'arbim elef v'shesh meos. Binyamin is 45,600. Dan has almost 20,000 more. So he makes the 19,000, right? Almost 20,000 more. He makes the following ha'ara. How many children did Binyamin have? How many children did Binyamin have? Anyone know?
10 children.
How many children did Dan have?
One
child. And Dan's one child was Hushim. Hushim was a special child. Hushim was deaf. He couldn't hear. And he says, Kan galsa lanu atorah ki in chachma bin etza l'neged Hashem. He says, when a Kaddish Baruch Hu, right, you see the greatness. Binyamin had 10 children. It's mentioned that he named them all after Yosef. Nonetheless, for whatever reason, you would think he's the biggest, he gets more, he's going to have the biggest. No, that's not necessarily how it works out. But Kaddish Baruch Hu wants you to be Matzliach, he will help you be Matzliach. And Rav Pam makes us very real. Rav Pam writes something so beautiful. He writes that just imagine the Hanukkah parties, right? Binyamin is walking around with his 10 children and his, you know, daughters-in-law and their grandchildren, and like, it's so hard. I have like so many presents to give out to all of my children and grandchildren. Oh, it's so hard, Nebuch. And Dan is sitting there in the corner, not wanting to look at anybody, with his one child that who knows when he's going to get married, what the future is going to be, and what nachas Dan is going to get from this one child, right? And imagine how difficult that was for Dan to experience, not on purpose, but just to experience every single year in the face of all of his other siblings. Yet, many, many years later, right? This is not a knock on Binyamin, but you see how when you plant and you work and you daven and you daven for Siyata Dishmaya, that things can change and that there's a future for Klal Yisrael. That from one child came one of the largest Shvatim for all of Klal Yisrael. That we don't know where things are ever going to end up, you know, in the world, in the scheme of things. And this gives us and gives those families, those individuals, that tremendous chizuk of Shevet Dan, from 1 to 64,000 over the course of just a bunch of years versus Shevet Binyan.
So, Rabbi.
Yes, Milti.
So there had to be some nace in order for this to happen.
I don't think it was an ace. You know, things take time to go into fruition.
How could biologically,
we need to be patient? Things take time.
How possible could one child have had that many more children?
It's not immediate. This is, again, 40 years later in the Midbar, the plus 100 something years after, you know, 200 years after the after, you know, they're already in Mitzrayim. They're in Mitzrayim for 210 years, and then you have 40 more years. It's 250 years later, approximately. Okay.
So that also may have meant that maybe Binyamin, the people of Binyamin, there were less sinners, and therefore more of them went into Eretz Yisrael than from the other tribes.
Yeah, it could be.
It's a combination, but it couldn't be purely from this one person. That, for me, sounds like, but biologically, is impossible.
Well, it's 250 years later that we don't know. Like, every neshama is important. Every neshama
That's
has
true.
So much potential.
That's true. Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
And that we don't think in the big scheme, in the grand scheme, and how and that had that perspective. And Chafetz Chaim is giving us that perspective over here. Before we get to this idea that I have right here from the Yagdil Torah, I'll share with you one I just didn't have to put on the sources. Is in the beginning of the parsha, when Pinchas kills Kazbi and Zimri, Moshe gives him, Hashem endows Pinchas with a very special gift. He gives him the Brisi Shalom, a gift of peace, a covenant of peace, which on first glance is very, very strange because he just killed two people. And now he gets like the Peace Prize. He gets a Nobel Peace Prize. It's like very strange. We don't usually give the Nobel Peace Prize. Actually, that's not true. Yasser Arafat did get the Nobel Peace Prize, but we're in no way comparing Pinchas to that Russia. So why would he get this and what is it? So if you look at the Torah, and if you look in the Torah itself, you'll notice that the word Shalom is spelled Shin Lamed Vav Mem. The word Vav is cut. It's called the Vav Ketia. The Vav is a straight line, but for this word, Brisi Shalom, the Vav has a break in the middle, where it's made up of two shorter lines, and there's a break in the middle. Now, why is that? Why is it that the Bris Shalom that he gets has a Vav Ketia, broken up Vav? So Rav Zevin, Rav Shalom Yosef Zevin, one of the greats from Eretz Yisrael, says the following. He says that there are two ways for us to achieve peace, right? There is, right? One way to achieve peace is by threatening and by creating a war. And after there's a war, right, threatening war or creating a war, and after the war, then all of a sudden we're going to have the Treaty of Versailles. We'll have a treaty, no more fighting, no more war, we'll have a ceasefire. But there was already a tremendous amount of death. So the peace was only created after death. There's another way, and that's proactive. That's proactive. Hey, you know, temperatures are rising. Things are getting a little bit hot over here, and maybe we're concerned that something's going to happen. So before anything bad happens, we proactively, you know, try to create a peace and a peaceful situation between the two parties. He says the second way is ideal. The second way is the way it should be ideal, where we should work together before anything goes bad. Pinchas, that's not our parsha. That's not the context of our parsha. Our parsha is Pinchas, it was so bad that in order to stop it and stop the Magefa, Pinchas needed to kill two of the perpetrators. He needed to kill Cosby and he needed to kill Zimri. And that, the Torah is testifying, is not the right path to peace. Ultimately, it does create peace. People stop fighting and people stop dying, but it's not ideal. Therefore, the Vav in Shalom is cut, showing that it is not an ideal way of achieving peace.
There's also something that I think we read that Pinchas is normally without the yud. And
yes,
here it is with the yud. Eliyahu is also, should have a yud, and it doesn't have a yud. It's missing five times a yud in the Tanakh. So when the Mashiach will come, Pinchas will give him back the yud, and that's when the shalom will really come, the complete shalom.
Yeah.
Rabbi, is it possible that the imagery of the Vav Ketiya in the name, in the Brisi Shalom, is to always symbolize, to show that Pinchas, like a spear, killed Zimri and killed Cosby by a Dekira. So the Vav, by being Ketiya, looks like two spears, upside down spears. Is that a possibility?
Definitely a possibility. Interesting. Truth is, it was one long spear. I think they killed both of them at the same time.
I know. But yeah. It symbolizes there were two, that part of the Brisi Shalom was given to him because of the Hariga of.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
There is some that the Shema of Nadav and Avihu, because they were similar, it had characteristics, they had personalities that are also very, very much like Pinchas. They wanted to go and do things that normally was not in their responsibility, to go into the Kodesh Kodashim. And what Pinchas did was also not his responsibility. It was really Moshe who should have gone and punished Zimri and Cosby.
Yeah.
Somewhere they want to say that the neshama of Nadav and Avihu was really inside of Pinchas.
Yeah.
One aside, Rabbi. As the halacha, I think, is that the Vav Ketiya is not ma'akev, if the Sefer Torah is not puzzle, if it does not have a Vav Ketiya, if it's a regular Vav. In laning over 50 years, I've never seen a Sefer Torah without the Vav Ketiya. I can't remember one, but it's not ma'akev.
Yeah, it's not. You're correct. A lot of those things are not ma'akev. The Sefer Torah would still be kosher if it wasn't. Yeah, correct. And final idea comes from the Rav Tzedek HaKomi Lublin. Not only the 3 weeks begin, so the 3 weeks begin in the three special parshios that we begin. But very interesting, what Tzedek points out, is the three parshios begin with three senses. Our Haftorah, I said parshios, but I meant Haftorahs. Our parsha begins with the word Shim'u. Next week's parsha begins with Dvar. And the parsha, the Haftorah after that, begins with Chazon. And he says the Jewish people sinned in three ways. We sinned with our mouths, with our ears, and with our eyes. So in order to counteract that, we have three Haftorahs. The Haftorah this week begins with the words Divrei Yirmiyahu, the words of Yirmiyahu that he spoke. Next week begins with Shimu, listen to the word of Hashem. And Shabbos Chazon begins with the word, you know, Chazon, the sight of Yeshayahu. The site of Yeshayahu. So perhaps that's why these are three ways. So it's the tikkun of that is Shmiras HaLashon, Shmiras HaShmiya, and Shmiras HaEinayim, guarding and protecting our sight, what we listen to, and our what comes out of our mouths, it comes into our mouths. Also, that would be the way to protect as a tikkun for our for the 3 weeks. So we discussed today the Shiraz Ratamas with the Yonah, fascinating connection to the Mabul and the Teva, the 21 days of sadness corresponding to the 21 days of Simcha. How many days are there? 22, 21? Mendy, that question, next year we'll go over it again. I'll have a different answer to that question. And then, thank you for asking it. And then we discussed Sheva Dan and the Koach of just one Neshama and the power of that, the broken Vav and the three Haftoras. I wish everybody a great Shabbos, an easy and meaningful fast today.
Thank you.